Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the teachers.
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network. I want to thank all of you for being with us here today. I've got my brother, St. Albert, from South Carolina. Good morning, Brother Albert.
Good morning, Rick. Boy, I'm excited this morning. We got a good one this morning.
Amen, we do. We'll get right into it. We've got something that is very difficult for most people to do, and that is staying at rest. And rest is a very important thing for health. They've done a scientific studies on it showing that people who are not covered with anxiety, worry, fear, those type of things, that they are much healthier than those who are not. Unfortunately, from the physical world, they attack it from the outside in. What part of your body is not resting? Let's focus on that. Let's focus on the event that occurred. Let's focus on the circumstance that occurred. Let's focus on the relationship that occurred. Let's focus on your childhood past that occurred. Let's focus on something that occurred in their life or is occurring in their life that is causing them this anxiety and causing this unrest. Do you have any examples of that that people might experience unrest?
Oh, shoot, Rick, there's so many. We would think that we would find rest. Let's say the churches, all these arguments, can you lose your salvation? You're not doing enough in church. You're doing so many evil things that you shouldn't be in your rest. You should be working all the time. Everywhere, even in family, you go to the families, and there's also in the family thing that you're doing right. Are you doing wrong? What are you doing? You should be doing this. You should be doing that. You go to work, and it's the same thing. Well, you're not doing enough. You're doing this and that, and then your own worries about how people should be looking at you, whether you know. There's so many things, and then comes things, your health. Well, you could see that in the Gospels, when every time Jesus Christ goes to cure somebody with ailments, the first thing that they say, well, what did this guy do? That's rest right there. This guy did something bad that God punished them for. And so you see this system in which we have always talked about is the system of the world, the system of the world, the system of the king of the of this world, the devil, the deceiver, is the system that he brings unto us. But a lot of times we say, well, we are out of our rest because of the situations that we get ourselves into. This world is getting worse and worse and worse. Well, there's many times in the world that things have been even worse than right now. But to tell you the truth, we get off of a rest not because of the situations that we're put in, but because of our belief. It all starts up here in the brain. And that's where things get out of rest. It doesn't start with our flesh. It starts with our brain.
So, for example, we may have a false belief about something, it looks like, that may occur. For example, we believe we're not good enough. We believe we are not worthy. We believe some pending event is going to occur. We believe that someone is going to let me down. We believe that our wife is going to do X, our husband is going to do Y, our child is going to do Z.
That's correct.
Whatever the situation is. So it starts with the belief. I agree with you very much. Let's go to Genesis and find out when man first got out of their rest. Now, let's paint this picture real quick. We've got a situation where people were in the Garden of Eden, and those people were called Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve had this Garden of Eden that was perfect. Everything about it was perfect. There was nothing out of place, nothing incorrect. It was just an amazing, beautiful place. And the flowing streams and the beautiful trees and the fruit trees and the lush green everywhere, just absolutely gorgeous. And man had this paradise on earth, is what it was. And then all of a sudden comes slithering up this thing called a serpent. And it was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field. We're in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And then the serpent says unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and ye shall see as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, where are you, Adam? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman that you gave me, she gave me the tree and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because you've done this, you're cursed above all cattle, beast of the field, and upon your belly shall you go. And dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put an enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and yours. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and in by conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. And in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life.
Yeah, this right here is, in layman's term, it's a basic story. I could think of, I got two brothers. And I could think of instances in our lives where people had tried to get into us and break or union or trust towards each other. And that's what basically the snake did and what religion does. Religion breaks with subtlety the trust that you have with God. Even though they speak great things about God and all the hell, the devil spoke great things about God. The devil's speaking about God all the time. He was speaking great things about God right there.
Yeah.
But, what they do is that they break the trust that you have towards towards God, towards your father, and towards what he told you, you know? And I could see that with my brothers, you know, people coming in between us, telling me that you shouldn't trust that person because of this or that. And then when they come in there, you have two things. Either you trust them, you continue on trusting them because you know them, or you distrust them because you believe of what the enemy thinks and you did not know your father or your brother or whatever as much as you thought you did. You see, that's why it's so important to understand the gospel and understand God, because there's going to be situations all the time in your life in reference to that. I'll give you an example of that, a real quick example of religion. Well, God says all over the gospels that he has taken our sins away, right? And yet in religion, what they tell you is that he hasn't taken away your sins, right? Mm-hmm. It's another thing that God tells you that you should not, that he has done all the work and that you should rest in that. But what happens with religion? Yeah, they tell you that on one side, but then on the other side, they tell you that hasn't occurred, that you have to work, you see? And it goes back and forth. You could go through your whole life and just think back of everything that you have been taught about God and about the gospel, and you will find out that 90% of it is against the gospel. You see, and that all that talk against the gospel, what it does is it undermines your trust towards God and towards the message that he came to give us.
Mm. Very well said, brother. Well, now we're going to move on to Isaiah, and you've got some things here in Isaiah that you want to share with us. Now, you had it in the NIV. Is that kind of what you want to look at?
Yeah, Rick, I think that one will be better in the NIV because I think it's more clear in modern day English as to what he's saying than the King James.
Okay. So we've got Isaiah and we've got 28:9. Who is it he is trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from their milk? To those just taken from the breast? For it is, do this, do that, a rule for this, a rule for that, a little here, a little there. Very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to this people to whom he said, this is the resting place. Let the weary rest. And this is the place of repose. But they would not listen. So then, the word of the Lord to them will become, do this, do that, a rule for this, a rule for that, a little here, a little there, so that as they go, they will fall backward, they will be injured and snared and captured. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem.
You know, he was writing this to the Jewish people, but you could put in that 14, hear this, you scoffers who rule the people of the church. Yeah. Because it's the same thing that's going on today that is went on to Jerusalem. The gospel is not a new thing. The gospel came all the way from Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. And the Jews were supposed to understand the gospel that was coming. They were waiting for the Messiah. They knew a lot of things about the Messiah and what he was supposed to come and do. But because of those teachers who the Bible warns us all the time, it's terrible. We continue on with that, Rick. There's a warning. There's a warning about this rest. And we could see this warning, Rick, in Hebrews 4 and in other places about not entering into this rest, and why the Hebrews did not enter into this rest, and why the church has to heed this warning, because it's very important to enter into God's rest. Very important. It has to do with identity. It has to do with who you are. And if that's cut down, then you're really lost. Hmm.
Well, here it says in Hebrews 4, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you who should seem to come short of it. Again, let's take a look at this in a little bit more normal English. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. He's giving a warning right here in 4:1 that you don't want to fall short of this rest. For we also have the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Mm-hmm. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest, and yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. Mm-hmm. Seventh day God rested. 4, somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. Yeah, that was in Genesis 2:2. And again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, and it was disobedience of faith, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience.
Wow. You know, right here, Hebrews says, you know, we always, everybody thinks to think that Paul wrote Hebrews, you know, but let's hear from the mouth of the man himself as to what it is about this rest. Let's go to John 68. Now, here's the Gospel of John, and here is the man himself talking about this rest. It's not going through a second person here. Now, here is Jesus Christ himself talking about this rest and about somebody asking him about this rest.
Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures eternal life, which the Son of Man, we're in John 6:27, for those of you following along. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So where was the seal of approval? On the Son of Man, on Christ. Then they asked him, well, what must we do to do the works that God requires? How many Christians have that question? How many Christians want to just do what God wants them to do? Well, here it is in John 6:29, answered by Christ or God himself. The work of God is this, to believe in the Son, in the one he sent. It's to believe in Christ.
That's it.
That's your work. Ready? Go. You got to be kidding. Yeah. That's why Jesus said, you know, your load is light. Mine. It was his load that was heavy. You know, if you follow him, it's light.
Yeah. Let's go there, Rick. Let's go to Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Let's go there so they could see this.
Matthew 11, 28 and 29.
That's why he's capable of saying this.
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Okay. How many of you listen to the show are weary and burdened? He says, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Mm-hmm. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's not putting a burden on us. He's just asking for us to believe. Just believe in him. That's it. Just believe upon the name, believe upon the one, believe upon Christ. And then that is the work that God requires you to do in John 6:29, as we just read.
Yep. Go ahead.
Let's go to Galatians, because he gives another warning about not resting. And really, there's two kinds of theologies that Christians follow. One is the theology of works, and one is the theology of resting in him completely. And really, that's the dividing line. And if you try to blend the two, it's kind of like taking the most purest water of all time and adding only one speck of dirt. It's still now muddy water.
Yep.
So we're going to keep it pure by resting in him. You can't bring the law into rest. If you try to bring the law into rest, it's like bringing dirt into pure water. You can't. Well, are you calling the law dirty?
No. It's just...
No. Yeah. Go ahead, Albert. Sorry.
Yeah, it's just like another way that Paul says it, which he calls it manure, you know? I won't mind sleeping in a hay bed that's clean, right? But will you sleep in a hay bed that has a little bit of manure on it? I don't think so. There's no rest at least for me.
No. Yeah. I don't think so either. Well, brother, I got to tell you, I believe that what we're about to read is a warning for a lot of you legalists out there. It says, if we go up here, it says, I marvel, Galatians 1:6, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and unto another gospel, which is not another at all, but there be some that trouble you, that you would pervert the gospel of Christ. Let me make this a little easier for people to follow here. We're going to go down here. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. How? By bringing the law and mixing it. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach you, let them be under curse. And actually, that's not just God's curse. That is eternally cursed when you look it up. He is so adamant about this that he repeats it in verse 9. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under the curse, God's curse. Well, rest is easy. It's by believing in Christ and let everything else go. But some aren't going to do that because they want to hang on to everything of the world. The world has no power. The flesh has no power. Works has no power to save you and to get you into your rest. If you think about it, you make a list of everything you have to do, you're not going to rest. You're going to be doing until the cows come home. It's just a saying from us Southern boys. So with that in mind, remember John 6:29. Just believe. Just believe. It's that simple. Even if your ministry or your minister or your pastor is telling you something other than that, they are wrong. And tell them God News Network said so. And if they don't like it, they can come on as a guest and we'll have that discussion live on air just for you, so you can see how the Word of God, Christ himself, will separate the sheep from the goats. This is the real news. This is the God's news. And this is where the saints are rising. We want to thank all of you for attending each and every week and joining us. Because you are a saint. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you now have a chance to do so by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and I accept him, and I believe in him, and he is now my Lord and my Savior. If you said that, you are now in the kingdom of God, and angels by the multitudes are singing. Thank you again, and have a beautiful and blessed day.